Turn back to Romans chapter 6. I have thoroughly enjoyed studying Romans. It's been such a blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I felt like if after we go through this, that we ought to go through it again, and then maybe one more time after that. They say human beings learn in sets of 3 and 7. So maybe we ought to go through it 3 times. And then we'll say, oh, I get it. But here, I titled the message in this portion of the scripture we're going to look at, Grace, Justification by Faith, Salvation by grace alone, Christ alone, through faith alone, does not lead to sin. It does not lead to sin. Now in verses 1 through 14, Paul tells us that we are dead to sin. That sin nature he's talking about. There, he's in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? How shall we that are dead to the power of that sin nature reigning over us? How shall we continue in sin? He tells us we are dead to sin and we're dead to that sin nature through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin, that is, that sin nature, is not our master anymore like it was. It was our master. It was our master. It controlled us. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our master. He sits enthroned in the heart. And that sin nature that we were born with has been dethroned, severed, have been made a sever between us and that old sin nature. But even better, we are alive unto God in Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And that being so, we are not to let sin reign in our mortal body anymore. And Paul's going to tell us, if we don't yield up the members of our bodies to that old nature, we are not to yield any part of our body to the satisfying of that old sin nature. But we are to yield our bodily members as instruments, weapons of righteousness unto God. We used to use our minds to think upon our sinful conduct, to think upon things we wanted to do and achieve, and we had no problem with it. It didn't bother us at all. We used our eyes to look upon things in an unholy manner. That's why our Lord said to look upon a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery. And the same thing for a woman, to look upon a man. There was a time that we could look upon these things and it never bothered us at all. We yielded our eyes to it. We yielded our minds to the thought of it. And Paul here, he's going to teach us and tell us that those who are born of God, yield yourselves up to God and the members of your body up to God to be used of God. In Romans 12:1, it says this. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yield them up to God. So what Paul is going to teach us here in these next few verses, and I can just sum it up with this statement. We are to live in a manner that is agreeable to our holy nature that God has given us. That new man that's created in Christ Jesus is created, it says, in righteousness and true holiness. And we are to live in a manner that's agreeable to that and consistent with the gospel. So, in verse 11, he said, first of all, in verse 10, for in that he died, that Christ died, he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now, likewise, reckon, count. And this he is speaking of faith, not feeling. We're not talking about what you feel like or what I feel like. By faith, lay hold of this. Get a hold of this, is what he's saying. By faith, count yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin. Not the presence of it, not even the influence of it, but that sinful nature. You're dead to it. It doesn't control you. God is not going to allow it to reign again. So you count. You reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Just as you reckon Christ to be dead to sin, you believe Christ died on the cross for sin. You believe he died on the cross for sin. Well, by the same faith, you reckon yourselves to be dead to it. He died to it, and you died in him. Whatever is said of Jesus Christ is said of the members of Christ, the members of his body. So reckon, count yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, that sinful nature, reign and take over your body, your members again, the members of your body, your eyes, your mind, your tongue. Don't let it take that over again. Don't render service to it again. That's what he's saying. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey, submit to, that you should submit your body to it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield to God. Yield your bodily members to God. Because the power of that sin nature is broken. It is really broken. You say, but I don't feel like it. I ain't talking about feelings. We're talking about what happened at the cross. And faith lays hold of this. And when you really get a hold of that, then you'll really understand something about Christian liberty and freedom, and you'll enjoy assurance when you act by faith. See, we are so much on feeling, aren't we? Well, I feel good today. I feel bad today. I feel this. I feel that. It's not talking about what you feel. When we talk about salvation by grace through faith, faith is to believe God. You're taking God at his word. And by faith, we know that we were baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God. We were baptized into his death on the cross. And just as we are dead with him, we live with him. And Paul says here that sin nature shall not have dominion over you. It's not going to reign again. As Henry said, he said that there's no such thing as carnal Christians. We do things that are carnal, but we're not carnal Christians. There's no. No, if sin dominates you, we're going to see this here in a minute, but if it dominates you, that sin nature dominates you, God has never saved you. He's never saved you. If it's the dominant force in your life. Because he says here, sin shall not have dominion over you. God's not going to allow it. For you're not under the law. You're not under that covenant of works. You're under the grace of God. Well, Paul says that. He's going to answer a second objection here. What then? Shall we sin? Now he's talking here about an act of sin. I was doing a word study on this. And in the first part of this chapter, he's talking about a nature of sin. In this one, he's talking about an act of sin, a planned act of sin. And he's saying, somebody's asking this question. Well, if that be so, shall we sin? Shall we commit acts of sin? How far can we go? No. What can we do? How far can I go in sin? Can I commit an act of sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Then he says, God forbid. Perish the thought. First of all, listen. The believer knows this. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. And he's not going to let that sin have dominion over me. That sin nature is crucified, and he's not going to be allowed to reign. Christ died for me. And secondly, the Holy Spirit regenerated me. There is literally a new man, a new nature created by God in righteousness and true holiness. The Holy Spirit gives a new life. There is a new me. There's a new me that has not sinned. That new nature has not sinned. And it can't sin. It's born of God. It's born of God. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He says in 2 Corinthians, you have been made a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been created new. And then the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives in you. He dwells in you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God, lives in you. And he's not going to allow sin to reign over you. Listen, the stronger man has taken over the house. He's taken over the house. And you're not under the law. You're not under the law, the power of the law, the condemning power of the law. You're under grace. You're under the grace of God. Grace provides what the law could not provide. Grace provides the ability to believe God, to follow after Christ. The law doesn't provide any of that. God in grace has provided us with righteousness. The law cannot provide that, and did not, and cannot. You're under grace. Now he says here, here's something you know, and he's going, and this is what he's talking about when he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. You know this. Here's something that you know. That to whom you yield yourselves as yourselves servants, and that word servant there is slave, and it means slave in the lowest form of slavery that was known in Rome. He uses the lowest form of that meaning. You know this, you yielded yourselves slaves to obey. His servants ye are to whom you obey. Whoever you submit yourselves to, that's your master. That's your master. You know, we can say we believe this, believe that, and we can say a lot of things. But when it comes down to it, it's who we yield ourselves to. That's our master. That's who controls us. That's who owns us. That's the one we are a slave to. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now listen, here is the acid test of knowing whether God has saved me or not. Who's my master? You know, in business, there's a thing called acid test. And I think it's when you take your liabilities and you take your assets and you put them together, you divide them out, and you know if your assets are 2-to-1 to your liabilities, you know that's the acid test of your business. That's how you can tell real quick if you have a pretty decent business or not. Well, here's the acid test as to whether God has saved me or not. Who do I obey? Who is my master? What is it I give myself to? What is it that I enjoy? Whose companionship do I really enjoy? I mean, really. What is it that I really love? Or who is it that I really love? Either way. Where do I really find pleasure? Where do I really find pleasure? The tenor of our lives reveals who our master is. The tenor of our lives. And that's what Paul's saying here. You see, we have dealt with justification by faith. He's dealing now with sanctification of the believer. And the one that we obey and make provisions for and follow after, that's our master. If it's sin, then it'll lead to death. If it's righteousness, well, it leads to life. Because now he says here in verse 17, after verse 16, whoever you yield yourselves up to, that's your master. But God be thanked. God be thanked. You were the slaves in the lowest form to sin. You went after the passions and the lust of your flesh. And that's not just talking about this skin here, this body of bones and muscle. And it's talking about that nature that we were born with. That nature used this body to fulfill its desires. That's why this body has to be buried and perish. That's why this body has to go back to the dust. Because that sin nature used it to sin in. And when God raises us from the dead, we're being raised with a new body. A new body that sin has never touched it and never will. But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Those Pharisees didn't obey the law from the heart. They obeyed the law. They outwardly obeyed the law for what they could get. For what they could get out of it. They didn't. You know, David says over in the Psalm, "Oh, how I love thy law. I love it. I love it." Sometimes when we speak of the law, it speaks of the commandments. And sometimes it means the whole word of God. I love whatever God has written. I love it. It's right. It's right. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Or listen, read it like this. You have obeyed the teachings of the gospel that has delivered you from that nature of sin. The power of sin. The gospel has delivered you. It came in power and it delivered you from the power of that sin nature you were born with. And you obey, look here. You obeyed from the heart. You are willing bond slaves of Jesus Christ, aren't you? I want to be His. I want to be His, and I want to be used of Him, and even more, especially after studying this chapter, I want Him to use my tongue to speak and to preach and to witness. I want Him to use my eyes to read His Word. I want Him to use my eyes to be able to look at creation and see the glory of God in it, not what I can get out of it. To use my ears to hear the gospel. Listen to this. He said, you were the slaves of sin. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. I'm going to read them to you. Paul writes this to them. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, those who yield themselves up to sin? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and he's talking about a lifestyle here. He's talking about a lifestyle. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. That's not you no more. You don't live that life no more, do you? You don't live that life no more. And you know, I know a man, and I may have mentioned this before, but I know a man. He made a profession years ago under Arminianism. And where he went, they believed in this thing of once saved, always saved. Now, I know that all of God's sheep are going to be saved and they're not going to be lost. I know that. But not in the way they know it. But anyway, I talked to him a few years ago, and this man has been a drunkard. He made a profession. He even tried to preach for a little while, a few times. Stood in the pulpit. But his real self came back out. He came back out. He showed up. And he became a drunkard, a womanizer. I don't know how many affairs he's had on his wife. And I was talking to him not too long ago, and he said to me, and I don't know why he needed to say this, but he said to me, he said, "You know, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven." Well, I don't know about that, because he said here that no drunkard, no fornicator is going to go there. And he's talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle. No, you're not going to be there. Not unless the Lord does something. Not unless he breaks that old nature. Not unless he saves you by his grace and gives you a new heart and a new nature. "And such were some of you, but you are washed." Now listen. But you're sanctified. God set us apart in Christ. God has made us holy in Christ. And God has made us holy in a new creation. You're sanctified. But, he says here, "But you're sanctified, but you're justified also." You're cleared. There's no charge against you. "But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You are sanctified and you're justified. If you've been justified, I assure you, you've been sanctified. Justification, sanctification, they go together like faith and repentance. You can't have faith and not have repentance. You can't be justified and not be sanctified. Be born of God. You can't do it. But he says here now, you believed, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. You obeyed the gospel, which delivered you. Being then made free from sin. Now, when he spoke of that earlier, he talked about being freed from sin. Verse 7. In verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." That means justified from sin. You're justified from that old sinful nature. That's not going to come back up again. You're not going to go to court over that. You're justified. You're cleared. But here what Paul's saying is that you have been emancipated. You have been liberated. This is freedom. This is true freedom here. Get a hold of it. Being then made free, emancipated, liberated from sin, the domination of that old nature, you become the slaves to righteousness. You're not slaves to sin no more. You're not slaves to it. You're slaves to righteousness. Free from the reigning power of that nature, you're now free to be servants of righteousness. Servants of the Lord, our righteousness. And Paul says, now I speak in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I'm using earthly terms, terminology that you can understand. They knew what a slave was. They knew what was. They knew what that was all about. And Paul said, I'm using this terminology because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now, for as you have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, your bodily members, he's talking about. He's talking about your bodily members. Yield them as slaves to righteousness unto holiness. You know, in the past, as I said, we used our eyes to feed the lust of this flesh. That's what we used our eyes to feed the lust of this flesh. We used our tongues to curse God and curse men and curse this and curse that. We used them to curse with. Our hands to do evil things with. Our feet to do evil, to go to evil places. He says, now yield that body, that same body, to righteousness. Right now, I'm yielding my tongue to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God gives you an opportunity, He opens a door, use your tongue to glorify Jesus Christ. Use your eyes to look into the Word of God. And most of all, listen, use your mind, because this mind controls everything else here. Use your mind to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, think upon these things. Think upon these things. Take control of it. That's why he's saying that new nature. At new nature, take control of your body, your mouth, your ears. Your ears, you know, you and I control what we listen to. We can control what we listen to. I'm not going to go to another place that preaches another gospel. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't get on the internet and listen to men I know do not preach the gospel. I'm not going to let that come into my mind. That's what he's saying here. Yield your body not to sin, because they said, what then? Shall we sin? He's talking about acts of sin. He said, no. No. Yield it to acts of righteousness. For when you were the, listen, verse 20. For when you were the slaves of sin, you're not now. No believer in here is a slave to sin. Yes, you sin. And yes, you feel the influence of it, the presence of it. You struggle with it. It's a warfare. But you're not a slave to sin no more. When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You had nothing to do with righteousness. You remember, everyone in here can remember a time in your life when you had nothing to do with anything that was righteous. I mean, any righteousness. He's talking about here the righteousness of Christ. Doing right from a right principle, from a right heart. He says, you were free from that. You had nothing to do with it. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof, now listen, you're now ashamed. Now when someone wants to tell me what they used to be, what they were like and how bad they were, they're not ashamed of it. You don't talk about things you're ashamed of. And every believer here is ashamed. You're ashamed of your life, your past. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That's all it is. You know, if I can talk about my past life, all I'm talking about is death. If I talk about what I used to do, I'm talking about death. It's got the smell of death all over it. How in the world can I glory in something that I say that Jesus Christ died for, that I caused the death of? No, you're not. You're ashamed of it. The end of those things is death. But now, being made free from that sinful nature that you were born with, and you have become slaves to God, servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You have that. That fruit's there. If that fruit's not there, the Lord's not there. In the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, or the wages, here, the wages that sin pays. It's speaking here of sin being a master. Sin being your sovereign, basically. Your master, it rules you. And it's, at the end of the day, here's what sin's going to pay you. Death. Death. That's what sin pays. You say, oh, but there's pleasure in sin. Well, Scripture says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when that season's over, you know what your wages are? Death. And that's, you know, that's not talking there about judgment. That's talking about death. You're going to die. You're going to die. Judgment comes after we die for the unbeliever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, not a way. See, the gift. Eternal life is not a wage that God's paying you because you're good boys and girls, good men and women. Salvation is not a wage paid to us. It's a gift given to us. And there's one thing I know about a gift. If it's really a gift, you didn't earn it. Those two terms, you know, gift and earning don't go in the same language. They're not even in the same room. If you're given a gift, you didn't earn it. So the gift of God, the gift of eternal life that God's given you, He's given it to you by grace. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. Don't deserve it at all. Sin will pay its wages is death, and it'll pay up. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I tell you what, that's been a powerful chapter for me. Powerful. I told Ben, I said, now, he was mentioning last Sunday's message, I said, now listen, and I say this to everyone here. Go home, listen to the two messages that Henry preached on this. I've listened to them four times. I mean, you're talking about a blessing and a much better handling of this than I am. I'm able to handle. It's part one and part two of Romans chapter 6. Part one, go home and listen to it. Sometime this week when you have time. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. All right.